show here something we hope you'll really like.
He's colossal, stupendous. One might even go so far as to say he's mediocre.
The Cell Signal Storm Podcast.
Back to the beginnings of the Chris Salcedo Show and into the Salcedo Storm podcasts. I have been on record, even back when it was Russia, Russia, Russia from the Socialist Democrats. And even though I can say I am no fan of Vladimir Putin, I recognize the main threat to humankind. I recognize the main threat to American liberty, to the continued prosperity and freedom of the United States. That threat is communist China. It has been and continues to be our greatest geopolitical threat. Back when Barack Hussein Obama was occupying the Oval Office, and Barack Hussein Obama was allowing communist China to expand its sphere of influence by illegally seizing the Woody Islands and militarizing the Woody Islands, expanding its military influence, putting at jeopardy our economic prosperity here in the United States, and not to mention free travel, not to mention, as stated, it was illegal. It was against the United Nations regulations. China was in violation of the law, and Barack Hussein Obama just let them do it because it gave them an advantage. It gave communists advantage. So that's all Barack Hussein Obama needed to know. And this engagement, it didn't start with Barack Hussein Obama, began with Nixon. It flourished under Reagan, to be quite frank, thinking that the introduction of capitalism to communist China would dissuade them from their communist ways. And frankly, the big bad at the time was the Soviet Union. And by the way, the Soviet Union, no fan of China back then. Now, Mother Russia and communist China are fast friends. But more on that in a minute. Communist China, back then, was a menace. And we developed economic ties with them. And they never lost sight of their goal. They never lost sight that they wanted to make sure that the world was under its boot and that the United States were going to be a bunch of useful idiots in that regard. So they played their part. They played along. And they played us. They played us. It is so bad now, my friends, that we have communist China teaming up with Mother Russia, not only doing joint military exercises, they're actually working to supplant the world's reserve currency, the U.S. dollar, with the Chinese yuan. And they're getting other nations to come on board because, frankly, under Beijing, Biden, or Democrats, the United States is a joke. The United States is consumed with dividing itself and destroying itself. And we are not a reliable partner under Democrats. Democrats are too busy corrupting government to enrich themselves, to actually pay attention to preserving this last best hope of mankind on planet Earth. Let me give you some evidence of this. Last Monday morning, the FBI arrested New York, quote, residents in connection with opening and operating an illegal overseas China police station. Oh boy. Liu Jingwang and Zhen Jinping. I don't know if that's any relation to Xi Jinping. For all I know, Jinping is just like Smith over in China. Anyway, they were charged with conspiring to act as agents of the People's Republic of China, as well as obstructing justice by destroying evidence of their communications with our communist China enemy. Now, these revelations have a lot of even Democrats going, what have we done? What have we done? Newsmax writes, a day after authorities arrested two people on charges of links to communist China and a secret police station in New York, U.S. officials said the United States is engaged in an extensive effort with international partners to counter China's influence operations, not only in the United States, but also in their countries as well. Federal prosecutors said the arrests on Monday were part of a crackdown on China's targeting of dissidents, which Beijing denies. Both men are arrested, and by the way, they are U.S. citizens, allegedly. China's foreign ministry has disputed the existence of such police stations, but they are there. And now Western authorities are warning that China's government has increasingly exerted pressure to silence its critics abroad, even targeting people of China origin through covert operations and attempts to stifle expression or coerce them to return to China, where they might face punishment. Human rights groups have also complained of threats to academic freedom as the communist Chinese have infiltrated our college campuses. It is, folks, this is a foreign enemy operating with impunity on our soil. And we've had two arrests. The Democrats are too busy trying to protect those who have sold us out to communist China. From the Washington Examiner, an IRS agent is seeking whistleblower protections in alleging that the criminal investigation into Hunter Biden has been infected by politics and preferential treatment. Who do the big government apparatchiks in our government favor? They favor Democrats. The treasonous and traitorous Democrats who are selling us out to our enemies. Communist China, Mother Russia, the BRICS nations. The bombshell whistleblower claims they come from a career IRS criminal supervisor special agent who says he's been overseeing the ongoing and sensitive investigation of a high-profile and controversial subject since early 2020. A source familiar with the letter to the told the Washington Examiner that this is about Beijing Biden's troubled son, who's being investigated for several potential crimes. And I wonder what those crimes point to. Do they point back to the big guy? 10% for the big guy? Folks, we are in big, big trouble. And now even the Democrat Party is going, man, what have we done? Those who still want to be Americans. Now, those who are like, oh, what have we done? And now it's up to us to cover this up, because once the American people recognize and know it was us who delivered them into the hands of communist China, they're coming after us. The pitchforks are coming out. The torches are coming out. We will expand this conversation next on the Salcedo Storm podcast.
And now a word from our sponsor.
Are you sick of all these Medicare commercials? Well, what if you're under 65 and need quality, affordable health coverage? American Medical Plan specializes in under 65 health insurance plans that have zero copays at the doctor and no deductible on all outpatient services, including surgeries. You pick your doctors and hospitals. There are private plans, enroll anytime, and they are 30 to 60% less than Obamacare. If you're paying too much for your own health insurance, call American Medical Plans. They will customize a plan managed and chosen by you, not the government.
A liberty-loving American takes on Washington, Hollywood, and the whole media establishment. He's Chris Salcedo. Join his fight. Tune in to the Chris Salcedo Show every weekday afternoon on Newsmax.
Did you know drag shows for kids are being normalized in Texas? Sexualizing Texas children is happening right now, and you can learn how it affects our state by going to TexasScorecard.com today. Get real news for real Texans.
Let me bring in somebody, a fellow American who's over in Great Britain, Patrick Henningsen. He is an effective independent voice and outspoken media critic, consistently challenging the mainstream line on Western military adventurism and deep state geopolitics. He's a vocal advocate for freedom of speech and freedom of the press. Patrick has done extensive on-the-ground reporting and research in the United States, Europe, and the Middle East, including work in Syria. That's dangerous work, too. Iraq, Lebanon, Iran. He is the host of the Patrick Henningsen Show on TNT Radio. Patrick, great to meet you, and welcome to the Salcedo Storm podcast.
It's great to be with you, Chris.
And you know you as well. I don't know how much of the stuff you're monitoring stateside, but there's a gentleman who is by the name of Seymour Hersh. I'm sure you're aware of the name, kind of a left-leaning guy, but came out with this damning report of $400 million going to Volodymyr Zelensky and his henchmen over there in Ukraine, skimming off the top for diesel fuel to enrich themselves. What was your take on a story like that? And I'm sure you have stories you could probably curl our toes on this.
Yeah, thanks, Chris. Yeah, well, that's something that we all suspected. And just, you know, Cy Hirsch doing that article kind of puts a little more detail, a little more shape to those suspicions. You know, if you look at Ukraine as a country, before the war, before their sort of international image has been tarted up the way it has over the last year in the West to kind of get us all behind the war effort, in terms of the global corruption index, it's right up there in the top as, you know, one of the most corrupt countries in the world. In terms of Europe, it's, if you consider it to be Europe, it'll be sort of number one, the most corrupt country in Europe. And then all of a sudden, as soon as the money starts flowing and the weapons, it's now whiter than white, the sort of archetypal template for a burgeoning democracy, flowering democracy, out of the muddy lotus ponds of Eastern Europe springs this wonderful, effervescent democratic project known as Ukraine, led by this actor, Vladimir Zelensky. And it's a great narrative. It's a great story. But now you're starting to see the reality of it. And the reality of it is Western electorates have had to dump unprecedented amounts of cash into a proxy war that's more or less unaccountable. I mean, I totally backed calls by Rand Paul and other, you know, U.S. lawmakers to audit every penny of this money going over there. And I think America deserves that. But, you know, with anything Pentagon related, there's always this natural sort of reflexive deep state reaction against any kind of accountability or audit of the Pentagon, Central Intelligence Agency, or the sort of bevy of black budget projects that pad out the budget. You know, when they put the new military budget in this past month, you know, it's, I think it came up to about $800 billion, but a number of people have done slightly more realistic, comprehensive estimates, and by the time the financial year is over, it's well in excess of $1 trillion a year. That's previous years, so that'll be even higher this year. And anytime anyone's asked for an audit, all of a sudden, you know, alarm bells go off.
I know.
Washington, you know.
Well, yeah, no, nobody likes accountability in Washington, even though that's what we hire them to do, which again, I think dovetails into this day before tax day that we are discussing this issue as to, are we getting the biggest bang for our buck? And the bigger government gets, I think that the jury comes in and says, no, we're not getting the biggest bang for the buck. And so you've probably looked at this three ways from Sunday, the Ukraine conflict. Now, I believe the semiconductor issue is very real with the high grade neon, also with the production over in Taiwan. What do you think is the real reason why so many Western democracies / republics like ours are involved in Ukraine? What is the overarching? Is it a protection racket to not expose all the corruption from Republicans and Democrats? Is it as you alluded to, a proxy war to stop Russia and then of course stop China? What do you think's going on here?
Yeah, Chris, it is a protection racket in a number of different ways. Certainly, you know, starting with the U.S. domestic political impetus on this, 100%. The crisis that you're seeing in Ukraine, and as much as the mainstream media, as much as U.S. Politicians and the sort of punditry, the beltway punditry, as much as they want you to basically have wiped your hard drive of your brain before February 22nd, 2022. In other words, don't look at anything that led up to the current crisis. History began on the 23rd of February, 2022, and ignore everything else. And if you mention anything else, you're a Putin disinformation bot or whatever. So the point is, there's a number of things that happened that directly led to this crisis. And every single one of those key triggers was set off by the Obama administration. That was under 8 years of Barack Obama. The D.C. establishment sought for regime change in Ukraine, and they got it. They got exactly what they had done, and they weren't working alone. They're working with the European Union. They're working with Britain. They're working with some of their NATO allies in the clandestine program to shake up the political system in Kiev and then oust the democratically elected president, Viktor Yanukovych. Mm-hmm. Oliver Stone made a great film called Ukraine on Fire with great film director Igor Lapotnik, who himself is Ukrainian, that explains all of the events that led up to that. Now, and after that, you have just untold corruption and the Democratic donor class, and also some probably Republicans as well, and other U.S. interests, financial interests, and other European interests were using Ukraine as an ATM machine. They're using it as a massive cash machine.
Wow.
They had a sovereign debt bond scandal, which has never been resolved. $7.2 billion in sovereign bonds that were being trafficked in and out of the country, ending up in the United States, and then the money goes back in to buy more bonds in Ukraine. This has all been well documented in the Ukrainian media at the time, but you won't hear anything about it in Western media. All you hear about, is, of course, is going to be Hunter Biden and Burisma gas. And so his $83,000 a year no-show job for Hunter, Joe Biden's son,
yeah.
It's bad, but it's literally chicken feed compared to the big money that goes all the way up to the BlackRock level, BlackRock investments.
Yeah.
So this is, you know, this is a scandal that could completely obliterate the Obama donor class. But there's an armistice agreement in Washington not to talk about it.
Right.
Because this is what the establishment does. They close ranks to protect each other. That's the political one. Geopolitically, this is an old story that's been run for 300 years to separate Germany from Russia and to subdivide Asia. This was Zbigniew Brzezinski's vision for the grand chessboard, and we're more or less continuing the same grand geostrategy. And it's to make sure that Asia is not going to be joining with Europe economically. That gives the U.S. The sort of dominant position in servicing Europe. And this is what the First and Second World War were largely about as well.
Well, hold on. You see, we're going to examine that next. How's that whole strategy going? Patrick Henningsen is our guest right now, folks. You can catch his program on TNTradio.live, TNTradio.live. I mean, you've got the socialist who runs France. He pops on over to communist China, and he comes back and says, you know what? I think it's time we left the United States in the rearview mirror. And I think it's time that we stop munitions into Ukraine. Because, as you know, France has the veto power over those types of expenditures as a member nation. So how is this whole grand strategy of the globalists working out to separate communist China from Europe? It seems that this cabal over here, headed by a man I call Beijing Biden, can't do enough for communist China, can't sell us out enough. 65 Democrats voting in our legislature to say we are not going to investigate. We don't want to know what communist China is up to. So how is the whole chessboard strategy working out?
Well, firstly, Emmanuel Macron, the president of France, anything but a socialist. He's a hardcore capitalist. He is a banker's banker, and is definitely representing the interests of the World Economic Forum in terms of, you know, BlackRock's agenda, the sort of BlackRock Vanguard massive global tentacle investment holdings and that agenda. So France has basically gone over to China to sell French industry, and they signed a number of massive deals in there. So Emmanuel Macron, Macron's taking a beating in France from his own electorate. So he kind of escaped over to China, signed some deals that are good for France, that are going to sort of pad the pockets of the French treasury there and stave off an economic collapse in Europe and in France. So France has a tremendous amount of economic problems, as does Germany. There is a economic war going on, and the United States in its own way is also part of that economic war in Europe as well. And again, this goes back to look at the post-World War II, post-Marshall Plan, U.S. Grand strategy of Europe and how to occupy and control Europe. So there's a bigger geopolitical game going on, and it's not merely what the mainstream media is kind of giving us.
Well, yes, and I'm wondering out loud whether or not part of those economic deals, maybe France committed to building some submarines for communist China, because the United States backstabbed the French with a deal with the United Kingdom and Australia And maybe France is now going to be the one. Our oldest ally is now going to be leading the charge to separate from us. How do you see China and its threat to the global stability?
That's an interesting question, Chris, and I think this is going to be an interesting debate going forward. Look, in terms of China, I know that China is being repositioned as the next, quote, threat to the U.S. It's on the tip of every news anchor's tongue. This is where a lot of the commentators are sort of bringing the conversation. It was Russia. And as we know, well, I don't want to speak for you, but as many people know, you probably may or may not agree, but Russiagate was a total hoax. You know, the idea that Russia put Donald Trump in the White House.
Total fabrication. And just so you know where I sit on this, when it was Russia, I have been China. Because, look, I just got to be honest with you. I don't like racists. I don't like genocide, and I don't like slave states. As a conservative, I am naturally against left-leaning totalitarian mindsets, and it doesn't get any more, in my mind anyway, left-leaning and totalitarian than Xi Jinping, in my opinion.
Yeah, you could look at it this way. I will argue about Xinjiang province in the West, that this idea of a million Chinese in concentration camps and Uyghur genocide is massively overblown if you actually look at the reports. That's not to say that what China might be doing to repress its separatist movement in the West might offend a lot of people from the human rights camps. In the West, certainly you can have that debate, and the international community generally needs to continue to have this debate because it's important. Here's the danger, though, for the United States. The U.S., NATO states, they keep saying now publicly they're obsessed with malign foreign actors influencing our elections, influencing our children, blah, blah, blah. And what they're doing is they're basically telling us now that the Chinese and the Russians have been using our freedoms against us in the West. And so our, quote, open system is now dangerous, and we need to now turn into a hyper surveillance police state in order to defend us against the Russians and the Chinese. So Americans are being asked to lose all of their freedoms, all of their privacy, businesses, your free speech. This is what the Restrict Act is all about, and hopefully it dies in committee. But this is a kind of a retread of the Patriot Act, but on a much higher level. If you looked at the Twitter files and what came out when Elon Musk released all that.
Well, sure. Let me connect some dots here, and maybe you can, if you see a through line here, you've also got this government who's saying that they don't want to counter China. They don't want to counter Russia. They don't even want to counter Iran. However, Catholic Christians in the United States and parents who show up to school board meetings, this government under the failed Supreme Court justice nominee Merrick Garland and this guy Christopher Wray, this government, the United States government, is targeting its own citizens as enemies. And that sounds an awful lot like a strategy being implemented and supported by communist China. Communist countries do this to their own citizens. Is that an oversimplistic view?
No, it's not, Chris. And because the important lesson here is that our governments, and a lot of Republicans are saying this as well, but of course the Democrats are, this is chapter and verse.
Right.
They're saying that you need to give up your freedoms, and we're going to protect you as the state against malign influences and domestic extremists and hateful conduct and hate speech and all this stuff. So we're becoming much more authoritarian than some of the countries that we're pointing at, including. And we're not much different in terms of how we're formulating our social credit system in America than China is. So is the enemy, if America collapses, it's going to be from within, and it's not going to be because of the Chinese or the Russians.
Very true.
It's going to be because of the American state is growing. The federal super state is growing too fast. It's taking too much power. It's blaming the public for everything that goes wrong, including the election of Donald Trump. You know, that's part of this story. Mm-hmm. And Americans are losing their constitutional rights and freedoms. And so America cannot have a robust constitutional republic if it gives up all of its constitutional rights. You can't have both.
True.
And so China is not doing that, much to the dismay of a lot of commentators on some channels that are obsessed with what China's doing secretly to the U.S. and ignoring what the U.S. government and what the corporate Silicon Valley firms especially have been doing to Americans.
True.
And that's a big problem.
Dating back to the aforementioned Barack Hussein Obama, he looked with envy at what the communist government of China could do to its own people. He lusted for that. He wanted that type of ability to do that to us, in particular to people like me. The last question I have for you, Patrick, is it's kind of off the beaten path, but I think you're going to know the connection here. This push to go everything electric, this push to stop natural gas, gas burning stoves, which is, as you know, a clean burning and an abundant fuel in many parts of the United States. We don't have the resources to build even one generation of electric vehicles, not to mention the toxicity of the battery technology itself. After we gave away our battery technology, literally gave it away to communist China, they would have solved a lot of these problems. How do you see this push to go all electric and how it factors in to American freedom?
I think the push to go electric, ultimately, those people who are really fully into it, it's one is to control where people can drive, mm-hmm. how much they can drive, how mm-hmm. far they can drive, to meter distance, and also to be able to disable cars or enable cars that are hooked up to a 5G network, ultimately to get rid of individual drivers and have it so that you have Johnny cabs that can pick you up and you can jump off, automated Ubers, basically. That's the grand vision of the whole electric car system and the whole takeover of the kind of automobile in general and globally. You're right, the resources are not there to make that happen. So it's very possible that, although part of this could be implemented, that in the United States anyway, as long as they don't pass any laws to ban the sale of combustion engines, there'll still be an opportunity to have both systems. In Europe, however, they're cutting off combustion engines in a big way.
Yeah.
And this is geopolitics, Chris, because America can back out of this dead end agenda very easily, and it has the resources of hydrocarbons to go on for hundreds of years, and then still develop electric and green tech over time. But what we've done and what the World Economic Forum mob have done is convince Europe to go all in to an economic and energy suicide run, and look what they've done. Then we've blown up the Nord Stream pipeline, and so we've really stuck the boot on Europe. I mean, I'm sorry, but America has played an amazing blinder here.
Wow.
And Europe fell for it, and the green thing is a total sham.
It is.
And I think people in America and even in Washington know it, but Europe has not really, the penny hasn't dropped yet.
Yep. And folks, there is a reason why the new electric vehicles are going to be absent AM radio. There's a big reason why. It's a direct attack on free speech, a direct attack on the conservative movement, which has dominated AM radio for many, many moons. Folks, Patrick Henningsen is his name. He is on TNTradio.live. As you can tell, he has a lot of interesting perspectives. I hope you can tune into his program. Patrick, it was great meeting you.
Yeah, great to meet you too. Take care, Chris.
And that right there is going to put a wrap on this edition of the Salcedo Storm podcast. Folks, I want you to visit a couple of websites for me, will you please? TexasScorecard.com. TexasScorecard.com. If you don't know what the term enterprising journalism means, go there and you're going to find out. Enterprising journalism is folks that don't just sit there and read news off of the Associated Press wire. They actually go out and do news investigations and news stories on their own. And they basically give you the news that is important to you. Give you the news that matters in your day, whether you be in Texas or outside of Texas. Also, check out ChrisSalcedo.com. ChrisSalcedo.com is, well, multimedia. You've got video, you've got audio. Track down the Chris Salcedo radio and television shows on Newsmax TV and on KSEV, simulcast on TNT Radio. Also, while you're there, check out all of our social media hookups. That is where you can find our presence on Getter, on Truth Social, also Rumble links, Parler. It's been bought by rich, crazy left-wingers, so we are out of Parler. Till we visit again, my friends, remember this. A society's worth isn't measured by how much power is stolen by government, but rather by how much power is reserved for you and me, we the people. Stay safe out there, my friends.